From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a series of studies in the life of Abraham as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, The Balanced Beauty of a Well-Ordered Life. The text is Genesis chapter 21, verses 22 through 34, the account of the establishment of a covenant between Abraham and Abimelech. That heathen king recognized that he and his people were blessed by their relationship with this man who walked with God. It was a time of relative peace in Abraham's life, a time of drawing into a deeper experience of God. Indeed, it was a valuable spiritual time that prepared Abraham for the awful trial he would soon pass through in the next chapter. It is an important spiritual lesson for all of God's people. Dr. Cairns will commence this message shortly. First, here is a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Substance Blessed. The text is Deuteronomy 28 and verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Obedience brings a blessing on all the provisions which our industry earns for us. That which comes in and goes out at once, like the fruit in the basket which is for immediate use, shall be blessed, and that which is laid by with us for a longer season shall equally receive a blessing. Perhaps ours is a handbasket portion. We have a little for breakfast, and a scanty bite for dinner in a basket when we go out to do our work in the morning. This is well, for the blessing of God is promised through the basket. If we live from hand to mouth, getting each day's supply in the day, we are as well off as Israel. For when the Lord entertained his favored people, he only gave them a day's manna at a time. What more did they need? What more do we need? But if we have a store, how much we need the Lord to bless it. For there is the care of getting, the care of keeping, the care of managing, the care of using. And unless the Lord bless it, these cares will eat into our hearts, till our goods become our gods, and our cares prove cankers. O Lord, bless our substance. Enable us to use it for thy glory. Help us to keep worldly things in their proper places, and never may our savings endanger the saving of our souls.
Contemplate his goodness and his holy love.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the latest issue of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is available. The principal focus of this issue is the prophet Daniel. There are 5 articles written by various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church dealing with such subjects as glorifying God in an ungodly world, Daniel, a man of prayer, and the prophet's visions. Also, this issue commences a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of Dr. Ian Paisley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to the feature on the website known as Q&A with Dr. Alan Cairns. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues. He deals with such things as what should be our response to the current economic crisis, or what is the best way to study the Bible. The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Genesis chapter 21. We read from verse 22 to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. The 21st and 22nd chapters of the book of Genesis record for us 2 huge trials that befell Abraham. In chapter 21, we read of the expulsion of Ishmael. And in chapter 22, we read of the sacrifice of Isaac. Now, the tendency for us as we read these chapters is to go straight from one to the other. In actual fact, however, Abraham did not proceed from one trial to the other. Between these 2 great events lay a period of many years. Some people think perhaps as many as 20 years, but certainly a good number of years. Years of serenity and years of prosperity. As we have read tonight, Abimelech, the king of Gerar, a Philistine king, sought to enter into a treaty with Abraham because he saw the Lord's blessing very evidently on the life of the man of God. For that reason, he sought an alliance with him. Abraham agreed, for he had been well and honorably dealt with by Abimelech and his court. And so he entered into a covenant with Abimelech with solemn oath and promise. They ratified that covenant by the well of Beersheba, the well of the oath. When Abimelech then returned to Gerar, Abraham appears to have settled down at Beersheba and to have made it the center of his operations for quite a number of years to come. There we read he planted a grove of trees. There he entered more deeply than ever before into the knowledge of his God. It's interesting to trace the developing revelation of God in the life of Abraham. He first knew him as God. Then he knew him as the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, the God who was sovereign. Then he got to know him as El Shaddai, the God of providence and the God of provision. And now he comes to realize that he is the everlasting God. He is literally the God of eternity. And as Abraham's knowledge of God increased, so his worship deepened, because as he learned, so he worshipped. Those were good years that Abraham spent by the well at Beersheba. Years of quiet, years of relative solitude, when the man of God finally got to enjoy the family happiness that had for so many years eluded him. During those years, Isaac grew first into a youth and then into the years of young manhood. It would appear to me that it was during this period that Isaac began to develop into the gentle man of contemplation that he afterwards became and is afterwards revealed to us in the chapters of this book. Now, Abraham couldn't know at that time that this period of tranquility and serenity would give place to the greatest challenge of his life, when he would go to Mount Moriah with the aim and object of slaying his dear son Isaac. He couldn't tell that that was down the road. This was what we could call the calm before the storm. The great thing that I want you to notice is that Abraham used this period very wisely. He didn't waste it. So that when the challenge did come, Abraham was ready for the challenge. Here in this good period, he realized that the good times of life are not to be frivolously misused, but they are to be deliberately employed to equip us for the more difficult times that will surely come. When I read this section of Abraham's life, my mind goes to what was written about King Asa in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 5 and 6 and 7. We read he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, underline that word. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. It was a very wise decision on Asa's part. He used the time of peace to prepare for the inevitable war. And what Asa did on a national level, Abraham did on a personal level. He built up his life and his family, and he prospered both materially and morally and spiritually, so that when the time of conflict did come and the greatest challenge of his life stared him in the face, it was no spiritual weakling who had to face it. It was a man who had employed these years of plenty and prosperity to grow strong in his God and to be able to overcome in the day of trouble. There's a great application in this section of Abraham's life for God's people. I will be making that application almost exclusively to God's people. Because, you see, when we look at Abraham, what we're looking at in the portion we have read, and especially the last two verses, what we're looking at is the subject of the balanced beauty of a well-ordered life. And the simple fact is that I cannot address that to a person who's not saved. Because the unsaved person can never have a well-ordered life. He may strive for financial independence. He may strive for material prosperity. He may strive even for emotional wholeness. He may strive for family unity. But the reality is that if a man or a woman is outside of Jesus Christ, his life is out of control. Ephesians 2 tells us that the unsaved are dead in trespasses and sins. They walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now worketh in the children of disobedience. That tells me that there is an energy that is flowing through the lives of the ungodly. It is a godless energy. It is a satanic energy. It is a sinful energy. They are lives that are certainly not in step with the revelation of God's Word. They are not in step with the revelation of God's will. For God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And these people are doing the very opposite to repenting. So that whatever success the unsaved man or woman has in life, their lives are not well ordered. What use is it to achieve financial independence and lose your own soul? What use is it to build a mansion here on earth and be damned in the caverns of outer darkness? What use is it to labor for the material welfare of your family here while all the time exposing their souls to the danger of everlasting wrath? The unsaved man cannot have a well-ordered life. Life begins at Calvary. The most important thing in the world for every man, woman, and young person here is to get to the cross. There, in recognition and honest confession of Christ's grace and greatness, and their sin and depravity, to call on God for mercy, for the saving virtue of His precious blood. That's where life begins. I trust that you'll get to the cross tonight.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak. Thank you.